Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm. Listen to what this great psalm has to tell us this morning. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us. And the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. So that's how we start out this morning. That his love for us is great and it endures forever. Let us praise the Lord. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit, into each home, into this sanctuary and into each home. We pray, O God, that you would be high and lifted up, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would move, you would impact our hearts today. We thank you for the gift of Jesus, that we begin this expectation, this looking forward, this Advent season, when we celebrate that you became flesh, O God, and that you love us. Bless those who listen today, and may you be lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. This morning, we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of hope. This candle symbolizes the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, God is with us. Therefore, we have hope.
Today is the first day of Advent, and it means it is a coming. Someone is to arrive, and we are taking this time to prepare our hearts and our souls for the coming of Jesus' birthday that we call Christmas. And today we're going to start that by looking at the word hope. What do you hope to have at Christmas? Do you hope to have your family and friends at Christmas time? Are you hoping for a special present under the tree? Are you hoping to make cookies and decorate them? We use the word hope, and we often mean things that may or may not happen. But the Bible uses hope differently. We have a hope in Jesus. And that hope is a belief that everything Jesus said is true. Everything about Jesus is true. It is our hope. It is a truth. It is a belief. Right from the beginning in Genesis, sin entered the world with Adam and Eve. And the Lord promised his people that he would send a Savior. His people had to wait and hope and anticipate and excitement and enjoy over 300 years before an angel came to Mary and told Mary that she would have a son named Jesus who would take sin away. Isn't that the greatest hope we have, that through Jesus all of our sin is taken away? Jesus is our hope. Our Bible verse today, it comes from Psalms 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. I want you to look on our Facebook page. I will post these two color sheets and the hope ornament that you can do at home. And also, this week I will be posting Advent calendars that you can do at home to prepare your hearts and your minds for the coming of our Lord's birthday. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Lord, as we sit quietly thinking about Jesus and his upcoming birthday, may we experience the excitement, the longing, the expectation, and the joy that comes with knowing Jesus gives us hope. Amen.
Thanks, Teresa. Good morning, church. God bless you as you worship with us this morning. I want to encourage you to register your attendance. That would help us to know who's being able to connect with us during this season. I wanted to remind you of a couple things before we pray. Christmas workshop is still on, even though we're not going to do any in-person gift making. You can register through our app or on the website to have your children receive Christmas gifts that they will make at home. They can either pick those up at the church next week, the 6th through the 10th, or they can be delivered to your doorstep. So you can register through the app or through our website. And wanted to remind you, if you want to serve at the Operation Christmas Child Processing Center, you can do that on the 12th of December. Just contact Naomi Wood, and she would love to have you join that group. Let's recite the Apostles' Creed together. A great document that was crafted in the late 300s, early 400s, wasn't necessarily drafted by the apostles, but these are things that the apostles would agree with. Let's say this together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So this morning as we pray, I would like to pray for our community. I'd like to pray for our healthcare workers, for those who are struggling with the virus, for the disruption in the lives of those who are having to quarantine. I'd like to pray for the school systems, for the business community that suffered loss during this time. And I was just thinking about the Lord and in his creation. We're studying by Zoom. We're not getting together in person, but by Zoom. We're having a men's Bible study on Tuesday mornings, and we're going through the book of Genesis, so we're in Genesis 1, and just thinking about God's creation. You know, he created billions upon billions of stars, and his word says that each one of them has a name. I don't even know if that's possible in the natural, but in the supernatural, all of them have names, and none of them escapes God's notice. All of them are significant if they have a name. The hairs on our head are numbered, and if one falls out, I'm assuming God has a running tally that he knows one has fallen out. And this God knows exactly what's going on in our community, in our nation. He understands this virus, even though we don't. And so I want to appeal to him this morning to move in power. So pray with me. Father, we love you, God. We trust you. And Lord, we just think about the things that you've created. Lord, how the sun is fixed, but at the same time it's screaming through the universe at an incredible speed. And Lord, the gravitational pull of the sun, it keeps all the planets in line as they orbit around the sun. God, you did that. You fixed that. You created that. And Father, the billions of stars that you flung into the universe, God. Father, there's nothing too difficult for you. You have understanding beyond comprehension. And so, Father, we cry out to you this morning for our community. We cry out to you this morning for our nation and the world as well. Father, I pray incredible encouragement for those in the healthcare industry, Lord, who are working more hours than they normally would, God, and they're walking through seasons with people who can't have loved ones in their rooms, that can't be encouraged by them. God, I pray that you give them the supernatural ability just to encourage people that are struggling, people that are suffering. And Father, for those who are struggling to breathe, God, I just speak life in the lungs this morning. Lord, would you do something supernaturally and free people up on ventilators to breathe, God? I lift up Scotty Lindley to you again this morning, God. I pray you do a miracle in his life. Pray for Ken Keith this morning, God. I pray you do something miraculous in his life. And all those who are in the hospital because of COVID, God, would you just move in power? Touch bodies, God, for your glory. Lord, I lift up our school system to you, God. We rejoice that we've been able to do in-person learning for this long, and God, I just pray that that continue. And for those who are learning at home, God, I just pray for a deeper connection to what's going on in the classroom. And Father, I pray blessings on the parents who are working plus serving as overseer of their children's education, God. I just pray incredible encouragement for them. Lord, I lift up our business community, those who are struggling because traffic flows down, God. I just pray that you make provision for them. And Lord, it would really be a good thing if this virus was eradicated from the face of the planet. It's so disruptive. It's causing division. We can't even get together for Thanksgiving. And Christmas, it's a risk to do that. And it's, Father, it's our desire that it's eradicated. Lord, that it's just gone. And Lord, you know best, Father, but we're going to cry out to you to do something supernatural in that area. Lord, just protect this church, God. I just thank you for the faithfulness of the people at Wiley Methodist Church, God, that allows us to continue to do ministry. Lord, I just pray a double portion of blessing on those people. Double portion of blessing on this fellowship as we continue to serve you and seek you during this time. Well, Father, you're the King of Kings. Jesus, you're the Lord of Lords. And there's no one else we trust with these things but you. Glorify yourself, God. Glorify yourself. We thank you for opportunities to pray to you, and we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, Lord in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, again, thank you so much for your faithfulness during this season. If you want to give this morning, you can do that through our app. You can do that through our website. You can also drop some a check by the church and mail something to the church. And, you know, God's been faithful, and his people has been as well. We thank you for that. So let's continue to worship.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Lord,
Good job, but you don't get to sit home and reap the benefits. You got to go to work. God provides food, but somebody's got to cook that food. We got to put something in. And I think it's the same with praise and worship. I think that if we put something into it and not just sit there and expect God to rain down a spirit, but no, we lift our voices. We lift our hands and our spirit toward Him, and then the Spirit rains down. So just block out everything else but Jesus. Nothing but Him. Let's sing that again.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Amen. He is holy. I pray that you feel the Holy Spirit in your home as we feel Him in this place. If you haven't registered with us, you can go to our Wiley Methodist app and register your attendance. If you've stumbled on to our worship service this morning and perhaps this is the first time. There is also a form you can fill out as a guest form, and we would love to know that you have joined us. We are especially glad that you're with us. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read several verses today. I want to set this passage up. It's Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26 is where we're going to start reading. But before we go there, let me kind of set it up a second. An angel had appeared to Elizabeth, and the angel had said that she would bear a son in her old age. They thought that she had not been able to have children. She was in her old age and past childbearing years. And he said that she would bear a son, and she was to name the son John. Actually told this to Zechariah as well. And that this son would be the one that proclaimed, that prepared the way for the coming Messiah. And it's interesting, the response. I've always been a little puzzled by this, but I think I've made sense of it. The response from Zechariah and Mary, there's a difference there. Don't let me forget that. I want to go back to that once we read the scripture here. So let me make myself a note to do that. Sometimes I forget. All right. Chapter 1 of Luke, verse 26. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." How will this be? Now notice right here, Mary is questioning the angel. Her question is, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month." Did you know that all things are possible with God? "For nothing is impossible with God. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." What a great response. Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Notice Mary hadn't said anything to Elizabeth at this point, but she knew that Mary was carrying the Lord. "As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord had said to her will be accomplished." That's a pretty important statement right there. "And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come and to come into each home. Stir each person that's listening. Holy Spirit, speak to us in power and authority and change our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am beginning an Advent series today called Overcomers. Overcomers. Today's message is overcoming doubt, overcoming doubt. So I actually said it a little bit wrong earlier. The angel appeared to Zechariah, proclaiming what would happen with Elizabeth. And what struck me is Zechariah asked the angel a question, and the angel didn't like that. And he was punished by becoming mute until the child was born. It always struck me, it's like, why was the angel so tough on Zechariah, who asked this question? He asked, how can I believe what you've told me will happen? And Mary asks the question, how will this be that I, a virgin, will bear a child? And the angel seemed okay with that, with Mary, and yet punished Zechariah. Here's what the Lord, I think, kind of conveyed to me, the difference. Zechariah was questioning the Lord's ability to do it. How can I know what you've told me, angel? How can I know that that will even happen? Mary was basically, I guess she had taken a physics class or something. It's like, hey, I'm a virgin. How can this happen? And the difference is she was not questioning God. She was questioning just, that's not how it works. Okay? I think that's important for us to understand as we talk about this overcoming doubt, why the angel was so harsh on Zechariah. So that word overcome, I put this in my email this week. In Revelation, Jesus said these words to, revealed these words to John, and he said, to him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That word overcomes, and I mentioned in the email, what does that mean? Overcome what? Well, that word, if we unpack that word a little bit more, to overcome, one definition is to prevail over trials and difficulties. Anybody, is this on? Anybody been through any trials or difficulties lately? I think there might be some people relating to that. So Jesus is saying, if there's going to be some trials and difficulties coming your way, and we are called to overcome them. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. It just astounds me. Just give you a little, Billy, it's interesting. Billy didn't know I was preaching on this text today, last week, and he talked some about the wedding and the betrothal process in the Jewish faith, but I'm going to hit some of that again. A young Jewish, Mary was probably a young Jewish girl, probably around 13 or 14 years old, a young Jewish virgin girl. She was pledged to be married, and that was a lot different than nowadays when you become engaged. It's still kind of loosey-goosey, but in the Jewish culture, a betrothal, an engagement, was a covenant at that point. Even before the wedding had happened, it was a covenant. And there was, as Billy talked about last week, there's this betrothal, this engagement that took place between the two families, and it was kind of negotiated. Usually soon after the girl had reached puberty when she was very young, and it was a covenant signed between the man and the woman's parents. The betrothal typically lasted about a year, and here's an important thing to note. Unfaithfulness during that betrothal period, that engagement period for that year, unfaithfulness was considered adultery. And the Old Testament, they were still operating under the Old Testament law in Mary's time. The Old Testament punishment for adultery was stoning. Serious stuff. Serious stuff. Mary had been faithful to God and to her husband. And she's this virgin, this little girl. I mean, 12 or 13, 14 years old. I see that kind of like this little girl. And this angel shows up and says, hey, by the way, you're gonna be pregnant. You're going to have a child. Now, think about how would you like to explain that to your fiancé? It's a whole virgin birth thing, okay? All right. Joseph, I'm a virgin, but I'm going to give birth. How would you like to explain that to your family? This angel appeared. I haven't been with a man, but I'm going to have a baby. Guess what? No angel appeared to the families. And she has to face this. What about the religious leaders of the time? No angels there either. You think that perhaps Mary had some doubts? You think perhaps, I don't know, I might be going, say what? Say what? Mary, it says in verse 29, just the appearance of the angel, Mary was greatly troubled. Mary was greatly troubled. So I think we can learn some lessons as we navigate this season that we're in, as we navigate through this, this overcoming doubt. How did Mary overcome doubt? First, let us look at we overcome doubt by understanding we have a Savior. We understand that we have a Savior. Now listen, in verse 47, Mary says, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." So from the very get-go, Mary knew God. She knew who He was. She knew how He felt about her. And she knew that He was her Savior. Mary acknowledges that God is her Savior, and that acknowledgement determines the rest of her response. Do we understand that God is our Savior? Do we understand, as we navigate through these uncharted times, through this coronavirus and all the uncertainty that we're facing? I mean, I know seems like all of us have, from different perspectives, we have different things that we're wrestling with. We're trying to determine, hey, should I go to the grocery store? Should I have Thanksgiving with everybody? Should we do a Zoom? For me personally, I've got the personal stuff, but it's like, do we meet for worship all together in person? Do we offer that? Do we just do live stream? How do we do Turkey Tuesday? All of those things where you're faced with all of these things, these decisions, but it begins with understanding that God is our Savior. Secondly, we overcome doubt by recognizing that not only is God our Savior, but we're favored by God. We're favored by God. "Greetings," the angel said, "you who are highly favored." Now, the two times the angel speaks of being favored to Mary. The first, and these are two different words in the Greek, the first time he refers to being favored, highly favored, means that God intends to bestow special honor towards Mary. It's like you are highly favored. God is going to do something for you. God favors you, and he's going to have an act towards that. The second occurrence is in verse 30, and he says, "Mary, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God." It's a different Greek word. Favor in this verse implies that God found something favorable about Mary's heart. So the first one, God's going to do something. He's going to favor you with an act to bless you. And second one is God found favor in Mary herself, something about her heart. "Greetings, you are who are highly favored. You have found favor with God." Do you realize, you know, I think we so many times historically in the church, in the global church, in the grand church, you've heard about the preachers preaching hellfire and brimstone. It's like, man, for me, the way to draw people to Christ is to show the goodness and the mercy and the love and the compassion and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not this scaring people. I ran across a church sign a few years. I don't know. I'm going to say it. I thought it was tacky, to be honest with you. It was a church sign, and it said, "Read the Bible, it'll scare the hell out of you." That's what the church sign said. And I drove by, and I was like, what did that say? And I actually swung around again to make sure I read it right. I'm like, wow, now that's a message that, man, that'll draw the people right there, baby. No, God is our Savior. We're highly favored by Him. And not Mary. He's speaking specifically to Mary here. But how do we know that we're highly favored? Because God became flesh. Because God became flesh, He's Emmanuel, God with us. He came because He loves us, because we are highly favored. And man, we can overcome doubt with that, church. When everything else seems to be falling apart, we can rest on that. Third thing, We overcome doubt by demonstrating a strong faith. And I love Trevor. Trevor's sharing his devotion with us this morning that that we must participate in this. Listen to this passage, verse 38. Mary's response when just set yourself in her shoes. Here she is, this young girl, pledged to be married. It's going to look like to everyone else that she's committed adultery. That's what it's going to look like. But here's how she responds in the midst of that. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Man, that's participating right there. Hebrews 11 tells us faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith, if we have something, if things are certain, if it's absolute, and when there's no, that doesn't require faith. Faith is when we're certain of what we hope for. Well, I'm certain that I hope that Christ is who he said he is. I've had that demonstrated in my own personal life. I wasn't there at the foot of the cross. I wasn't there on that first Easter morning, but he has revealed himself to me, and I am certain of what I hope for. Hebrews 11, and just a few verses later in verse 6 says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And this goes back kind of to the response of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah's question to the angel was, how do I know what you are telling me is true? It's a far cry different from saying, hey, I'm a virgin. How's this going to happen? Do you see the difference? I hope you see the difference there. Faith without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, it's interesting, if you go on and read more about Zechariah and Elizabeth and John the Baptist, when John the Baptist was born, Zechariah was mute. He couldn't speak. And they're wanting to name the child. All the family and friends are gathered, and they're wanting to name the child some family names. And they're throwing out all of these names, and Elizabeth says, no, the child's name will be John, because she knew that's what the Lord had said. And so they asked Zechariah, surely you're going to want him named after one of your relatives. And he writes down the words, his name is John. And immediately he could speak. Faith, without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must walk this journey, church. We must walk this season. I've said it many times over the last few months. Now is the time for the church to shine. Pause for emphasis. I mean, I hope you're getting that, church. Now's the time for the church to shine. Not when everything's hunky-dory and great and wonderful and everybody's happy and pleased and well and all that. And man, now is the time for the church to shine. Be the light of the world. That's the plan that Christ put in place. He gave us the message of the gospel. We're his ambassadors. We're salt and light. And man, I'm telling you, right now, our world, our nation needs salt and light. That's what we need to be. We need to overcome doubt by demonstrating a strong faith. And let it shine, church. Let it shine. Fourth, we overcome doubt by seeing the big picture. You know, I don't know when, I don't know how, but I believe with all my heart that this COVID virus is someday going to be in the history books. And it'll be gone, and we'll move on, there'll be something else. But we need to see the big picture. Verse 31, you will be with child, the angel said, and give birth to a son, and you give him the name Jesus. And listen to this. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary understood that she was just a, a, a piece of this story, that the real story was this Savior that was coming. The real story wasn't her. The real story was this Savior that was coming, and that she would give birth to. Now, notice, I know that there's some in Christian circles that we want to raise Mary kind of up to really kind of status with the Lord. I think that's wrong. I think that's very wrong. It says in the Word that all generations will call her blessed, and we should hold Mary in high regard. She is the mother of our Savior. But I walk on eggshells here a little bit. She's not our Savior. Mary's not our Savior. She gave birth to our Savior. I love that song, Mary, Did You Know? Anybody else love that song? I mean, I love that song. And in it, you know, he talks about, did you know that this child that you've given birth to, this child that you're caressing, that you're nursing, that you're taking care of, did you know that this one that is going to save you? Well, I love that. It's not scripture, but it's pretty in line with scripture, in my opinion. Mary needed saving just like you and I. And one of the books that I think is a significant book, it's been out for some time, Purpose Driven Life, you know, the very first sentence in that book says it's not about you. Mary understood it wasn't about her. It wasn't about Mary. It was about this Savior. She saw this big picture. It was about this Savior that she would give birth to, and he would save his people. He would be great. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. It was about this Savior that she had given birth to. So you ask the question, Mary, did you know? I mean, she had to know. Yes, she knew. But she was also, I'm sure, scared to death to go and face her family and her fiancé and the church, to face them. She understood, though. She overcame her doubt by understanding that she had a Savior, that she was highly favored. And she walked firm in her faith, and she saw the big picture. You know, God used a 13, 14-year-old Jewish girl to further his purposes. He wants to also accomplish something through you and I. And as I said, man, what a great... I see this virus. It's a real pain. It's a real pain for everybody. And some, it's a lot worse than a pain. There's been loss of life. There's been loss of businesses. But I see it as a great opportunity, church, a great opportunity. Jesus said to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Jesus, what did Jesus overcome? He overcame the grave, ultimately, death and the grave. He's asking us to overcome the trials that come our way. I guess my closing statement would be, may it be to me and you as he has said. Let's pray. Father, forgive us when we get so bogged down in our struggles, our trials. You have called us to be overcomers. You have called us to be light in a dark world. The only place that you need light is where there's darkness. So we're surrounded by darkness. Empower us through your Holy Spirit to be overcomers, to be that light. Shake us out of whatever we're, if we're struggling, if we're having kind of a pity party, shake us out of that, Lord. Help us to see the big picture, who you are and how you feel about us and all that you want to accomplish through us. Right now in every home, through every Wi-Fi, through every computer, through every iPhone, stir us, Holy Spirit. We praise you. Your love endures forever. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Even though many of you are not here, you're in your home, if Jesus has stirred your heart this morning and you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can contact me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. Please do that. I would love to visit with you as we close. Overcomers. God bless you. We're dismissed. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wylie United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. I want to remind you that you have a Savior. His name is Jesus, and He loves you. I also would like to, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to invite you to pray this simple prayer with me. Father, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I confess it. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. In the name of Jesus, amen. If you prayed that prayer maybe for the first time today, I want to invite you to do four things. First of all, to share that decision you've made with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And then secondly, I invite you to be baptized. Jesus himself commanded us that we should celebrate our faith through baptism. And then I invite you to get into God's Word. The book of John is a great place to start. And not because somehow reading the Bible makes us a good person, but because there's life in God's Word. It's His inspired, holy Word. And then finally, I invite you to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to be a part of. If you have any questions at all, I just want you to know that I'm available. You can contact me at my email, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.